We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
I invite you to open your Bibles tonight to 2 Kings chapter 5. You may be there already from the scripture reading. We're going to talk tonight about a man named Naaman. Big Al told me this is his favorite Old Testament story, the story of Naaman. The Bible tells us that Naaman was a man of great accomplishment, a man who had a high rank in the military. Verse 1 says that Naaman was the captain of the host for the king of Syria. We are told that he was a great man with his master. We're told that he's an honorable man. He's a mighty man of valor. He's a brave man. He's a soldier. He's an honorable man. He's a good man. But then it says, but he was a leper. He had a dreaded disease for which there was no cure. And Naaman, like so many people in the world today, had a problem for which he needed help. A problem that he could not take care of on his own. We've got many people in the world today who are good people, who are honorable people, who have excelled in many ways in this world, but they have a problem for which they need to be cured. Of course, I'm talking about the disease of sin and the sin problem. And Naaman's problem of leprosy is typical, it's a type of our problem today with sin. And so what I want to do tonight is to make some observations about Naaman and his leprosy problem and relate it to our problem today with sin. I want to begin reading in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and an honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive among the captives, a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, this sets the stage for us. Syria has had some great military conquest, and on a regular basis, they were running raids into Israel. And on one of these raids, they had taken a young maiden, a young girl, and they brought her back, and she ended up being a slave in Naaman's house. She is the personal slave to Naaman's wife. Now, verse number 3, she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Now, I learned several things about this. We already know that Naaman's a good man. He's an honorable man. Probably he treats this young girl well. He's not abusing her. And we see that she apparently has concern about him. She seems to be a good girl, and she hates that he has leprosy. And she says to Naaman's wife, "I really wish he were in Israel. If we were only in Israel, in my homeland, there is a prophet there, and he could take care of this problem." Well, she told this to Naaman's wife. Of course, the prophet she's talking about is Elisha. Well, somebody spread this news back to Naaman. And so verse number 4 says, "And Naaman went in and told his master," that would be the king of Syria. "And he said, thus and thus said the girl who's from the land of Israel. And then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' And so he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing." And so Naaman is desperate. He's willing to try anything. And so because of his high position, he gets a letter from the king of Syria, and he's going to take it to the king of Israel concerning this matter. And he takes along the gold and silver and the changes of garments, and probably in exchange for his healing. All right, here's the first point I want to make tonight. I want us to observe that Naaman went to the wrong source for his cleansing. And so many people in the world today do the same thing. Number one, Naaman went to the wrong source for cleansing. Look at verse 6. "Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, and he said, 'Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.' And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.' When the king of Israel gets the letter from the king of Syria, he panics and he tears his clothes and he says, 'Am I God? I can't do this. What is the king of Syria asking for me? I don't have the power to heal someone of his leprosy.' He says, 'Maybe he's trying to pick a fight with me. Maybe I can't do this. Why would he ask me to do something I can't do? Maybe he's trying to start a war.' You see, the king of Israel didn't have the power to heal Naaman. Naaman had gone to the wrong source for his healing. And so it is with so many people in the world today. Many people today are seeking spiritual cleansing, but they go to the wrong source. Maybe they go to their feelings. They base what's right and what's wrong and what God would have them to do. They base it purely on their feelings. Or maybe they seek it in a denomination instead of the church they read about in the New Testament. A church who doesn't follow the plan of worship that you see them following in the New Testament. And a church that teaches a different plan of salvation than you see them teaching in the New Testament. Or maybe they go to a creed book. Or maybe they say, well, my pastor said this. When all the while they need to be going to the book. You know, John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sometimes people think, well, you've got your opinion, and I've got my opinion, and you know, one view is just as good as another, and it really doesn't make any difference. But the Lord said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that tells me several things. Number one, I can know the truth. Number two, there is such a thing as the truth. And number three, I have to know the truth if I'm going to be free. You know, I've oftentimes wondered, why did Naaman go to the king of Israel? Why did he go this way? The servant girl didn't say, go to the king of Israel. She said, there's a prophet who can heal you. Why didn't he go looking for the prophet? I don't know. I've thought about that lots of times. Maybe he thought, well, you know, I'll start at the king. I don't know what else to do, and so this is what I'm going to do. But he went to the wrong source. How many people today think that they're going to be saved just by having Jesus come into their hearts? Right? There's no scripture that says that. There's no scripture in the Bible that says that your sins will be washed away when Jesus comes into your heart. But people say that. Where do they get that? Where do they get that idea? It's not. The Bible says your sins are washed away when you're baptized. Acts 22:16. Where do people get that? And so Naaman is like many people in the world today who are looking for the truth, but they don't find it because they go to the wrong source. Now, there's a very sobering passage in Luke 13:32. In fact, it's kind of a scary passage. It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. He says, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and will not be able. Now, that's kind of a frightening passage. Many people, he says, will seek to enter in at the straight gate and they won't be able to do it. Now, somebody says, you know, isn't there a verse that says, seek and you shall find and knock and it will be open to you? What do you mean there will be people who seek and they will not be able to enter in? How can that be? I think this is part of the reason. They're seeking, but they're seeking in the wrong place. And they'll never find the answer if they continue to seek in the wrong place. Well, look at verse 8. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And then Naaman went with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Now, we're going to find a second way in which Naaman is typical of people today. First, Naaman went to the wrong source. But secondly, we're going to see that Naaman became angry when he heard the truth. Look at verse number 11. The King James says, but Naaman was wroth, and he went away. Now, it's interesting to me that Elisha doesn't come out. Here comes Naaman, a man of renown, a man who is great and mighty, second to the king, and he comes out and he's got his horses and his chariot and his entourage with him, and the prophet Elisha doesn't come out. He sends a servant out to him, and the servant says, Elisha says, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. That's all he says. Verse 11 says, Naaman was wroth, and he went away. The New King James says he was furious. He wasn't just minorly annoyed. He wasn't just a little bit mad. He's furious. Maybe his face turned red and maybe he threw something on the ground and maybe he said, this is ridiculous. You know, I've come here all the way from Syria and this is ridiculous. And he turns to walk away. The truth had been delivered to him, but he didn't like what he heard. And he got mad. Folks, how many people are like that in the world today? Are all the Naamans gone? A lot of people today, same thing. This is not new. This has been around a long time. People today hear the word of the Lord, the only way that they can be cleansed spiritually, and they get mad and they leave. You know, it's interesting when you read the Bible, the different reactions to the word. Think about Peter's preaching. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the first gospel sermon. The Bible says, now when the people heard this, listen how it describes it. They were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their heart, and they said, tell us what to do. We're ready to change. In Acts chapter 5, Peter, same man, preached exactly the same message, and the text says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to kill them. It's the same man and the same message. In one account, they were pricked to their heart and repented. In the other account, they were cut to the heart and they wanted to kill him. Why the difference? Same man, same message. The difference was the heart of the hearer. You know, in Acts chapter 8, Stephen preached, and the Bible says they were baptized both men and women. In Acts 8, Philip preached, and they were baptized both men and women. In Acts 7, Stephen preached, and the text says they gnashed on him and stoned him to death. What's the difference? Same message. In one account, there were great numbers of baptisms. In the next account, they stoned him to death. Now, here's a passage for your memory verse list. If you're memorizing verses this year, John 6:60. Jesus had preached on that occasion. And John 6:60 says this, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? The English Standard Version says, who can listen to it? In other words, they said, we can't listen to this. We don't like what he said. We're not going to listen to this. Verse 66 says, and from that time forward, many of the disciples went away and they walked no more with him. How would I summarize it? I summarize it like this. They got mad and they left. What's the text say about Naaman? But Naaman was wroth and he went away. He got mad and he left. When I was preaching in North Carolina, there was one particular Sunday, and the sermon that I preached on that Sunday morning is that the Roman Catholic Church is not the one church of the New Testament. And it just so happened, I didn't know this was going to happen, I wasn't trying to pick on anyone, but we had a Roman Catholic visiting on that day. She was a relative of one of the members. And when this member walked out that morning, she said to me, she said, I'm so glad that you preached on that. She said, my daughter-in-law is here and she's a Roman Catholic and I really want her to obey the gospel. I'm so glad she got to hear the truth about that. I'm so thankful. I hope something good will come of this. And I said, me too. And then she went home that day and she ate lunch with her family and with her daughter-in-law who was angry. And that night, this member came back to me and she said something like this. I don't remember exactly, but she said something like this. She said, I am so mad at you for preaching that sermon this morning. And she went and she talked to the elders because she was so angry. Of course, I was surprised. What had happened between the morning and the evening? No, this is not new. Naaman's furious. He's angry. It's not what he expected. It's not what he wanted to hear. And so he left. He just walked away. Now, number three, I want you to notice a third way in which Naaman is typical of people today. First, he went to the wrong source. Secondly, he got mad when he didn't like what he heard. But thirdly, I want you to notice the reason that Naaman is so angry. The reason that he's so angry is he's relying on his own thinking rather than the Word of God. Look at verse 11. This is the King James Version. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away, and he said, behold, I highlighted this in my Bible. I fought. He says, behold, I thought. That gets us in trouble sometimes, doesn't it? The prophet had told him what he needed to do, but he said, but I thought. Behold, I thought he will surely come after me and stand there and call on the name of the Lord and strike his hand over this place and heal me of my leprosy, recover the leper. Now, God had spoken, but Naaman said, I thought it was going to be different. Naaman said, that's not the way I thought it would work. Dip seven times in the Jordan, that's no good. What kind of cleansing is that? That's what he said. Ladies and gentlemen, this is pretty close to what some people say today in relation to baptism. Is it not? People today will say, you know, Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But many people today say, no. That's not right. That is saving yourself. If you're baptized, that is saving yourself. We don't like it that way. That doesn't make sense. It seems like you're saving yourself. We would like it better if you do nothing. Just believe. Yeah, that's better. Just believe. That's better because it doesn't look like you're saving yourself. I want to ask you something. If Naaman had dipped seven times in the Jordan, would he have been saving himself? No. I don't think anybody would say that. Nobody would say that. Would he have thought that he saved himself? No, he wouldn't have thought that. As a matter of fact, after he does dip seven times in the Jordan, he doesn't say, well, I guess I cleansed myself. What he says is, now I know there's a God in Israel. That's what he says. He didn't think he saved himself. Nobody thought he saved himself. You know, this idea that some people have, that they say if you're baptized, that's you saving yourself. In what sense am I saving myself if I'm baptized? To me, this is the most absurd thought I've ever heard. Naaman wasn't saving himself. He didn't think that. No one else would have thought that. When I obey God today by dipping or being plunged in the water, it's not me saving myself. I'd call on Naaman to back me up on that. Well, Naaman began to make objections to the Lord's instructions. He's leaving. The text says he's wroth, he's furious, and he's leaving. And he's probably grumbling, and he says, go dip seven times in the Jordan River. That's ridiculous. And here's what he says in verse 12. Are not the Abana River and the Pharpar River, the rivers of Damascus, better than all of the waters in Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and he went away in a rage. Naaman says, this suggestion is no good. The Jordan River, this is a ridiculous suggestion. I've got a better suggestion, he says. I want you to think about the brazenness of this. The prophet of God told him to dip in the Jordan River seven times, and he says, I've got a better suggestion. The Abana River's better. The Pharpar River in Damascus back home, it's better than this dirty old Jordan River. I've read that the Jordan River is a dirty river. He says, these rivers back home are beautiful. And he wants me to dip in this dirty river to be clean? He had a better way than God's way. Don't men do the same thing today? Again, if you're comparing the dipping in the Jordan to baptism today, Mark 16, 15 and 16, they ignore what this passage says. And they'll say, forget this repentance and baptism stuff. Just, you know, say a little prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart. That's a better way. Just pray through. Just believe or whatever else they think is appropriate. Isn't that what got Naaman in trouble? What he thought was appropriate. Verse 13. And his servants came near and they spoke to him and they said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says, wash and be clean? One of the servants says to him, Naaman, my master, it's worth a try. It's just a simple thing that they're asking you to do. If it asked you to do something great and hard, you'd have surely done it, right? And we're told Naaman's an honorable man. He didn't like what he heard, but he's an honorable man. He's a good man. And they're saying it's worth a try. It's a simple thing. It's just simple. Just try it. And so he decides he will. You know, we ask men today the same thing. Just obey the simple gospel. Just do exactly what the people did in Acts chapter 2 when they obeyed the gospel. Repent and be baptized. Just do exactly what the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, and you'll be saved exactly like he was. Just do exactly what the Philippian jailer did in Acts chapter 16, or exactly what Saul did in Acts chapter 22, exactly what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, believe and be baptized. It's simple. I know you might say, well, you know, I've got different ideas about that. I've always heard something different from that. But how about trying? Just try exactly what Jesus said. Now, I don't know what the attitude of Naaman was at this point. He was furious when he left. They said, Master, please just go back and try it. It's simple. Just try it. I don't know if he was still mad and said, well, all right, I'll try it. Or whether he said, okay, it's worth it. I don't know. But verse 14 says he went, and he dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When Naaman completed exactly what the Lord said, upon that seventh dip, he was made white as snow. It says that his skin was like that of a little child. Now, if he had stopped at dip number six, he would have still been a leper. We're told that when he had completed what the Lord said, then he was made clean. Today, the Lord says, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. What if a person says, well, I'm going to hear, believe, repent, confess, and I'm going to stop right there? What would that do? It would be just like dipping six times in the Jordan River. They would not be cleansed. Now, verse 15, and he returned. After he saw what had happened, he is impressed. And he returns to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and he stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know there is a God. There is no God in all of the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. He says, I'm so thankful. I know now. I was wrong. I know. And he's standing there and he's got all of his aides and he's got the horses and the chariots and he's got all of these gifts. And he says, I want to reward you. I want to thank you. I've got gold and silver and clothes. Let me pay you. Now, you could say that's a happy ending. He obeyed. He was cleansed. He's thankful. He recognizes the true God of heaven. I wish I could tell you the story had a happy ending. And for Naaman, it does have a happy ending. But there's an interesting twist that's going to take place here with regard to a person who was apparently faithful. Naaman is so happy that he tells Elisha, I want to give you a present. I want to give you some money, some gold, something. And Elisha says, no. And he says, he begs him. The King James says he urges him, please let me give you something. And he says, no. Elisha says, just depart in peace. Just go on peacefully. And so Naaman does. As he's departing, Elisha has a servant who is named Gehazi. And Gehazi is watching Naaman as he leaves. And as the party is just far enough away, just a little ways off, Gehazi goes running to catch up with them. And Naaman sees him coming and he stops and he jumps out of his chariot and he says, is everything all right? And Gehazi says, well, my master Elisha sent me because just as you were leaving, just about the time that you left, two young men showed up. They were sons of the prophets. And Elisha wants to give them a talent of silver and he wants to give them two changes of clothing. And so he told me to come and catch you to get this. Well, Naaman's more than happy to do that. In fact, he says, don't take one talent of silver, take two. I'll give you two and take two changes of clothing. He's glad he wanted to do this. And so Gehazi gets this stuff, the silver and the clothes, and he goes back to his house and he hides them. And then he goes in to see Elisha. And Elisha says, where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, in fact, the King James says it this way. He says, where have you been, Gehazi? And he says, thy servant went no whither. That's the way the King James says it. That's not how we would say it. We would say, I didn't go anywhere. Where'd you go? He says, I didn't go anywhere. And Elisha says, my heart went with you. I know what you did. I know where you went. I know what you did. I know you lied. I know you stole that merchandise after I said no. And he says this. Elisha says to Gehazi, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And in verse 27, the text says, and he went out of his presence as a leper and white as snow. And that's how the chapter ends. Now, this is very interesting because in this chapter, we have a heathen man who is cleansed and we have a servant of the prophet of God who is infected. Why was he infected? Because of the love of money. Surely there's a lesson for us in this chapter. Surely there's something we've got to learn. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, tonight we want you to learn the lesson of Naaman. Tonight you can respond in one of several ways. You can get mad, like Naaman did, and you can leave. Or, like Naaman did, you can look for other ways and say, I've got better ways to do this than the simple way that the Lord said. Or, like Naaman did, finally, you can simply obey the gospel and be cleansed. Now, if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, learn the lesson of Gehazi. Materialism has been the undoing of many a godly man. And to quote Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. We need to learn the lesson from this chapter tonight. Whether I'm someone who needs to obey the gospel or whether I'm a servant of the Lord who needs to beware of materialism and remain faithful. Tonight you need to know if a man would be a child of God, the Bible teaches a man must hear and believe the gospel. In John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And then a man must repent of his sins. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Then he must confess his faith in Jesus Christ. Like Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And then a man must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Saul was told in Acts 22:16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." If I stop short before I'm baptized, it's just like being dipped six times in the Jordan River, and I won't be cleansed.